Monty Show, Tuesday, November 6, 2018. I'm back.
Hello.
Hey, little buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, you're well.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well,
usually
yeah.
You don't speak proper English. I'm
Thank
not
you.
Used to that. Good. I am tan from Hawaii. I am finally well rested from my 10 days on the road. I'm back.
Yeah, I don't think you were alive when you got home last night. I mean, I think you were literally like in some kind of like comatose or something. It was all right.
Man, I'll tell you what. I'll get into it in a minute. Hi, it's the Monty Show. Make sure you find me on Twitter, MONTY, the Monty Show. That's where you can find us online as well, themontyshow.com. So this weekend was crazy, right? Like, so I've been working at ESPN Radio occasionally, just doing some contract work for them. And I was also on vacation in Hawaii. So I had been in Hawaii since Saturday. So Saturday through Thursday night, I take a red eye overnight to get back to Phoenix. And then Saturday morning, so I'm home all day Friday. I take care of some business I had to take care of. I took a nap. I slept Friday night. And then I flew out to Bristol to do a weekend at ESPN Radio. And it caught up to me yesterday. And it's always the funny part of things is how life works out. So I was on the 11th day of a really long trip, right? And it's Monday morning, and it's 5:45 a.m. I get to the Hartford airport to return my rental car. And they're like, yeah, the airport's closed. They don't have any power. You're going to have to stay here. And I'm like, wow, that sucks. So the airport in Hartford, out of power. And I'm sitting in the rental car hub at the airport in Hartford. And people are calling the airlines, freaking out. And then at 6 o'clock, they say, oh, hey, the power came back on. Everybody's welcome. And then at 6:00 something, they're like, oh, hey, the power went back out. You got to stay here. So eventually at like 7:30, everybody is figuring out that the rental car shuttles and hotel shuttles can drive down this side road at the Hartford airport. And you can walk like a block to the airport. Okay, great. No problem. We get to the terminal. And if you've never been to the Hartford airport, it's not the biggest airport in the world. It's Hartford. So there's, let's say there's five airlines on each side, and then right down the middle is the security checkpoint, right? Like TSA. There were 7,000 people in the terminal, like body to body. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw it. It was gnar, dude. It was the worst. So there was this one guy who was a football coach somewhere in Florida. And we're all packed and nobody's moving. So we literally are leaning on each other in this airport terminal. And he starts like dry heaving. It was the weirdest thing. And then all of a sudden this lane opens up and we walk outside and there's an American Airlines supervisor who said, yeah, I don't think any of our flights will leave here until at the earliest 1 o'clock. And that's being generous.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, what should I do? And she said, call the airline. I would make alternative plans. I was like, oh, wow. So what I did is I called the airline and I asked them to switch me to JFK in New York. And she's like, yeah, no problem. And the American Airlines supervisor I talked to was like, no problem. She got me a direct flight. This is about 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30. She got me a direct flight at 4:30 out of Kennedy Airport.
Nice.
Direct to Phoenix. So I rented a car. I went back to the rental car hub. And I had a compact, right? She upgraded me for free to a luxury SUV. So I had a Ford Explorer Limited. Hmm. And I drove from Hartford to New York City. It took me about 2.5 hours. And I got to Kennedy, returned the car, got on the flight. It was great. But it was the craziest Monday of travel I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then we're like 20 minutes from landing in Phoenix. And we get the announcement, hey, this is your captain speaking. We're on final descent. The, you know, stewardess is going to come through. The crew is going to come through the cabin and clean everything up. Yeah, yeah. One of the crew, the cabin crew, because apparently saying stewardess is not couth anymore. But the not a stewardess got on the phone and was like, okay, hey, we're landing. Can you put your computers away and put your tray tables up? And I was like, cool. All right, good. So it's a 5.5 hour flight. So everybody's like, oh, cool, man. Except the guy who's sitting on the aisle seat in my row. So I'm at the window. There's a guy in the middle and then this guy on the end. And the guy on the aisle seat decides to pull out a Caesar salad that he's had in a plastic bag. Remember,
what?
Yeah, the crew has already said, put your tray tables up. So what does he do? His tray table, because we're in a bulkhead, is in the armrest. So he pulls out the tray table, pulls out the salad, pulls out the crouton salad dressing pack, pulls out the Parmesan cheese, pulls out the metal silverware he had in this bag, which I wonder how he got that through security. And he proceeds to build a salad and start eating it. And the lady said, hey, you know, we're going to have you put that away. And he said, I paid for the right to eat this salad right now in this seat. And the lady was pretty non-combative. She said, if you don't want to comply with us, we'll have the police, the Phoenix police, meet you at the airplane when we land. And the guy was like, this is complete BS. And he throws his salad into the bag and hands it to her. And meanwhile, so there's salad on the floor and stuff. So the lady who was sitting across the aisle from him starts picking up the guy's salad. And he just slams himself back into the seat. It's like,
you're a child,
you're
bro.
You're a dick, man.
You're
like,
a child.
Why would you treat the crew like that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
You had five hours to eat your salad.
So let's recap. You're freaking out in Hartford, yelling at airline people on a phone who are not in Hartford and who, by the way, had nothing to do with the power outage. It turned out a transformer blew up at the airport. So the airlines had nothing to do with the power going out or the subsequent lines that were forming at the terminal. So yelling at the airline people in a call center on the phone is ridiculous. I was very nice to the people on the phone, and they hooked me up. I was nice to the rental car people. They hooked me up. By the way, how about the people, and I'll shout out National Rental Car. When they found out we were all going to have to stay at the hub, they went to Dunkin' Donuts, and they must have spent hundreds because they got, like, dozens of those little donut holes.
Yep.
And they got egg and cheese croissants and bagels for everybody. And a bunch of coffee. Of course, I don't drink coffee. But yeah, so I had a free egg and cheese croissant sandwich for breakfast yesterday. The professionals were amazing. The passengers were idiots.
Well, yeah, of course. That's how it always goes, you know.
And speaking of idiots, the Cowboys lost last night.
Yeah.
That was probably not the best transition into football.
It was a good effort. Good effort.
But we try. I don't know what to say about the Dallas Cowboys that probably hasn't been said already. What is amazing is that this is not getting any better. And I think it's easy to pile on Jerry Jones. And let's be clear, what's going on in Dallas is 100% Jerry Jones' fault.
Right.
So I'm a little perplexed at the people today who are saying, oh, well, the Cowboys season is over. Oh, Dak should be benched. You should fire Jason Garrett. And it's like, Cowboy fans, I get it. You guys are really passionate. It's America's team. You know, Roger Staubach doesn't play anymore, but it's Captain America. We get it, right? I understand it. You're 3-5. The best team in the division is 5-3. So is your season really over?
No.
Knowing that you have two games with the Eagles and you have a game with the Giants left. So if you were to beat the Eagles, let's say, because they play the Eagles this coming week.
Yeah.
Right there, you'd be 4-5 and they'd be 4-5. So you'd be tied for second in the division. And let's say you beat them again, you'd have second place in the division.
Yeah.
So, like, you have a chance to overcome this.
Yes.
But Jerry Jones won't fire Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan, which at this point, I guess, probably is the right move. But if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you can't be saying the season's over because clearly it's not.
No, I mean, it's not over, but I think there's not a lot of positive around the team. I mean, it's easy. You say it's easy to pile on Jerry Jones. It's very easy to pile on Dak Prescott, I mean, after the performance last night. And I think, you know, it's not all his fault, but I think when you start looking around that offense, you start to wonder, you know, there's not a ton of weapons. You've added guys, you've added pieces, and they've worked out nicely.
Amari Cooper was great last night.
I mean, he was getting separation. They did a whole piece on it during the game about how he's getting separation and other guys aren't. And I understand that, and that's nice. But I just think there's not a lot of positive direction with the team. It's not as though they're on some great mission. And, you know, they had a tough loss last night in a game they clearly should have won and just blew up, and they lost it, and the Titans didn't win it. You know, so I just think for Cowboy fans, it's just tough sledding. There's nothing really positive going on, and it's easy to rip on either Jerry or Dak, or it was Zeke before, or now it's the offensive line. It's like at some point you have to take a direction as an organization. I also agree it's not the right move to fire Jason Garrett at this time because you're still in the hunt. That's who they are. They're in the hunt. They're not a contender. They're not in first place or anything, but they're in the hunt. They have an opportunity to get there, but you're going to have to win big games.
I think Dak Prescott made a couple of big mistakes last night. One, the interception in the end zone is unforgivable. You can't do that. And you cannot take sacks the way he takes sacks. But rewatching that game today, I had a lot of time on my hands today. It was bizarre.
Well, it's okay, great. So, I mean, you've been on a stretch of, 12 days?
Yeah, so, like, I had to do some work at the rental property we manage, and I went in. I actually got my truck washed. I got the taco washed for the first time, and I don't know how long. They did a terrible job, by the way. But, so I got home, and I was just flipping around looking for highlights of this game, and so I started watching like different angles, and you can find, anyway, it doesn't matter. So I rewatched a good part of this game. The Dak Prescott interception was a horrendous decision. The right move there was to throw that ball out of the end zone and preserve the field goal. He didn't do that. Huge mistake for Dak. The sack fumble in the second half was terrible. His fault. Shouldn't have done that. But a couple of the other sacks, he's just not got anybody to throw to.
Yeah,
there's tape out there of 17 plays where he makes a throw and it's a great catch, or he doesn't have anybody to throw to. On 17 plays last night, there's nobody open.
Yeah.
He misses Jason Witten more than I ever thought possible. Like, he just doesn't have even Ezekiel Elliott. Like, Zeke. So they're using Zeke to chip the defensive end now because their offensive line is struggling. And Zeke chips the back, and by that time that he's ready to throw the ball to Zeke, he's getting hit. So he doesn't have time right now to even diagnose the defense. So yes, a lot of things that Dak is doing, he could do them better.
Right.
But there's a lot that's going on in Dallas. It's not his fault. Amari Cooper made a big difference last night, but he needs another guy. So the news that's breaking right now, it's 7:17 Mountain Time. The news that's breaking right now is Dez Bryant, thank you, is negotiating with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, and they've been working on him for a little while.
So they worked him out today, and now they liked what they saw, so they're going to sign him. I'm telling you, again, Jerry Jones, it's a mistake not to have Dez Bryant back on this team.
Yeah.
I agree cutting him. I agree exiling him, but right now he's the guy you need. You need somebody that's a dominant possession receiver,
yeah,
who has abilities. You know who's a perfect fit there? Larry Fitzgerald would be a perfect fit in that offense right now. That's what you need.
Yeah.
And you lost that with Jason Witten, who is dreadful on TV, by the
way. Awful.
But the point is, I just don't understand what the Cowboys are doing. I love the Amari Cooper trade for them.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying, well, you can't give up a first-round pick for him. They would have drafted a rookie with that first-round pick that likely would have been a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to develop that guy. And that are you surely going to get a hit out of the first round of the draft? No.
No, and we've seen that so many times.
Like, especially with wide receivers.
Yeah, it's hard to draft a high-end wide receiver and develop him and know that that's going to work out. I mean, we're not talking about running backs here where it's Saquon and he's going to dominate, and we're actually seeing it this year right now. So I just think at the end of the day, like, you know, my point before, there's no direction. There's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of noise. Yes. We traded for Amari. You know, Dez is working with the Saints.
There's
like,
always there's drama, though.
Well, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's great that you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're everybody's, you're America's team and you got everybody and Jason Witten's a Hall of Famer and it's great. Like, at the end of the day, the good teams in the league are taking direction. The Saints have not a great defense. They've got an elite offense, and they're trying to add to it because they know they can win the Super Bowl this year. And they, frankly, are one of the favorites to win the yes. Super Bowl, I would say. So they're trying to add to it and give Drew Brees even more. You know, so that's what I'm saying. You look at the best teams around the league, they're taking direction. They know where they want to go. They know how to get there,
but
and they're doing something.
But they also have complexity in offense. One of the other things with Dak Prescott, it's very clear he is coached not to throw the ball away. It is very clear. If you look at Dak Prescott when he's near the sideline, and I, before the show I was talking to my brother, who's actually a significant Cowboy supporter, and he said, I'm tired of him running out of bounds. And you can see that Dak doesn't throw the ball away ever. He's coached not to. They don't value every yard in Dallas, which is why they miss field goals. Which is because instead of a 45, it's a 48.
Yeah, because it's just a little bit too long.
They don't value every yard. And it's coaching in Dallas. They need a coaching change. There's no doubt about that. But the season's not lost. You're not the Jets or the Giants, right? So you need to just hang on and hope for the best. Because your biggest problem, and I know Cowboy fans don't want to hear this today, your biggest problem is not Dak Prescott. And I don't know... I don't know that you can even make a compelling case that it is.
Yeah.
But I look at other quarterbacks. I'd rather have, at this point today, on November 6th, 2018, I'd rather have Dak than Baker Mayfield. I'd rather have Dak than Derek Carr. I'd rather have Dak than Blake Bortles, than Case Keenum, than Eli Manning, than Josh Rosen. Dak, I'd rather have him than Brock Osweiler. Like, there's a lot of QBs. I'd rather have Mitchell Trubisky instead of Dak Prescott, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Dak is far from what he did when they had a dominant offensive line, but I think this is the perfect case where you can see, okay, the formula before that had them winning was, like you pointed out, dominant possession receiver, dominant offensive line,
yes.
and you had a running back in Zeke that could really pound the rock. You don't have the offensive line anymore. You lost your dominant receiver, but you still have Zeke. So now his Dak Prescott's weaknesses and his inefficiencies as a quarterback are really shining through right now.
And he's
now.
Got too much to worry about.
Yeah.
So
you have to simplify things.
The other thing about Jason Garrett that I think is interesting is he's not going to take play calling back from Scott Linehan.
Which I just don't understand.
This is why you were hired.
Yeah.
To be an offensive innovator. That's what's if I'm Jason Garrett and you have to know you're getting fired at this point. Go out smoking. Take the play calling back. Is Jerry Jones so involved in that team that Jason Garrett can't take the play calling back? I mean, maybe. I don't know. But the other thing that's painfully obvious in Dallas is Jerry Jones is too loyal. And I always say it on this show. Loyalty kills you in professional sports. You cannot be loyal to Eli Manning if you're the New York Giants.
Well, it's the Patriots' theory of life. I mean, you look at what the guys that they've cut and the guys that they've brought in. And, you know, I mean, the Patriots' way is, okay, we've squeezed all the juice out of the piece of fruit. It's time to throw it out. But at the same time, we're going to bring in the guy that got cut too soon, and we're going to take advantage of that. I mean, that's who they are.
We are going to figure out your best use.
Yeah.
And then when you can no longer be viable in your best use, we're going to say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's why Tom Brady's still the quarterback in New England, because they're 7-2 because of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So, and I think that performance the other night against Green Bay, unbelievable. So,
epic.
Speaking of Jason Garrett, it's week 9. We are done with 9 weeks of the NFL season, if you can believe that. Who, after week 9, do you believe should be fired? Todd Bowles of the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the wrong fit for that team. You draft Sam Darnold and you do not have an offensive guy coaching that team. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I think Todd Bowles, you have too many penalties, too many turnovers, and just a lack of discipline.
Yeah.
Disinterested players. The cutting Terrell Pryor tells you that Bowles isn't in control, and I think that's why he's going to get whacked. Yes, I think you do fire him. Dirk Koetter in Tampa.
Dude, where do we start? I mean, where do we even start? I mean, I, I couldn't believe, truly, I couldn't believe that you brought Jameis back onto the field after what Fitzmagic had done. And I understand that, you know, that Fitzmagic is not some elite quarterback or anything, but I can tell you for a fact that he is better than Jameis Winston. He is better with, he's better at throwing the deep ball specifically. And that's what this offense is. You have
he's
two huge playmakers
for the players that they have.
Yeah.
The Fitzmagic is a better quarterback for Evans, DeSean Jackson, Howard.
Yeah.
That whole offense works better with Fitzmagic. So I think they went back to him, but they're so undisciplined and they're so poorly coached. I think you got to fire Dirk Cutter. Jason Garrett, yes, I think he should be fired. I would have fired him before the season. I'd have fired him probably three seasons ago.
Yeah, it does say something. He's still there.
And then there's Mike McCarthy in Green Bay.
This is juicy.
You wonder, this is a team that's got issues for the season. You have a quarterback, and I might be overstating this, I don't think so, but you have a quarterback that is an all-time great.
Yep.
In Aaron Rodgers. And I feel like they're wasting him. I feel like they're so tepid and they're so conservative offensively that he and Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, it's damaged their relationship. And you have a team now that's in a straight-up mediocre division. And I'm a Bear fan. God bless them. They're an average football team.
Yeah, and the Vikings have been underwhelming, without a doubt.
But see, here's the problem with the Vikings. The Vikings are getting healthy. They sacked the quarterback 10 times over the weekend. Griffin's back. You're starting to see that Dalvin Cook is healthy with a 70-yard run. That hamstring looks just fine to me. The Vikings are on the way back. I still think they're the best team in that division, right? The Bears and Vikings are both 5-3, although the Vikes are 5-3-1. Now you're fully two games out in Green Bay. You're 3-4-1.
Yeah.
And the road is going to be interesting because they now, after losing two straight to the Rams and the Patriots, they have the Dolphins at home, at Seattle, at Minnesota, versus the Cardinals at home. So they could win two of those three games, but then it's the Falcons and the Bears, and they finish with the Jets and Lions. They can't lose another game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, yeah, there's going to be tougher games. At Minnesota's tough. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
That's a very difficult game.
That's a tough game.
And Minnesota's going to be looking for
vengeance.
Yes.
they're going to be looking. They're going out the rest of this year with blood. I mean, some of the losses that they've gone through and just an awful start to the year for them. I mean, I know they're still in the race. But
that tie, though.
Yeah.
That tie is what's going to be the difference.
The Bills lost. The tie and the Bills loss are two games that you should have won.
Well, you should have beat the Rams. You know, I don't know. Anyway, the Vikings have a huge game in 2 weeks against the Bears. That game's in Chicago. They go Bears at Bears, Packers at the Patriots, at the Seahawks.
Jeez.
Dolphins at the Lions, home for the Bears. So their schedule in Minnesota is very difficult. So them getting healthy, them finding their stride is critical right now. And I actually think the Vikings are still the best team in this division.
Yeah.
And I think they have a real chance to win it. But what about Meyer and we, the Chicago Bears? What does Ditka think of this? This weekend you have the Lions at home. Then the 18th you have primetime the Vikings at home. Then you're at the Lions. Those are three games you should probably win.
Yeah.
You would hope by this point Khalil Mack is healthy.
Yeah.
Right? You would hope. Then you're at the Giants. That's a win. Then you're home for the LA Rams on December 9th.
Ooh. Don't know if that's a win or not.
That's sexy.
That's going to be a tight game for sure. No doubt about that.
December 16th at home against the Packers.
Yeah, that's a dogfight. I mean, that kind of a game. So first off, with the Rams, that's a cold game. I'm not a huge believer quite yet of the Lamborghini and Jared Goff in cold weather. I want to see a little bit more from him.
What was so surprising about the Rams' loss wasn't Jared Goff. It was that the Saints were able to hold down Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
That was
surprising. But listen, he's not a physical back. It's not who he is. He doesn't want to run your ass over. He is not Dalvin, or he is not. He's not
a Marshawn Lynch.
He's not
a Zeke.
You know,
he's not a Howard.
He's not those guys. Like, he's not a punisher. He is a guy that you need to throw it to him in the flat and let him burn people. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And so I thought the Saints did a great job. Punish him. Physically intimidate him. Like, well, that clearly made a difference.
So then after the Rams and Packers at home, it's at the 49ers on the day after your birthday, December 23rd. And then the Bears end the season at Minnesota in a game that could decide the division. So this division, while it looks like the Packers are done, if they win out, and they beat the Vikings, because you can't have a tie and a loss to one team, especially the Vikings in this division. If they beat the Vikings, the Packers still have a chance. So, yes, Mike McCarthy should be fired, but after this season.
Yeah.
After the season, I think for sure. And there's other guys you could look at. You know, Adam Gase in Miami has been strictly average, although he's been shackled with somebody else's quarterbacks. Vance Joseph in Denver. This is a John Elway problem. This is not a Vance Joseph problem. And then there's John Harbaugh in Baltimore. And I think John Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in football, right? And I think he, again, they were too loyal. I think there's an odd situation going on in Baltimore right now. And Joe Flacco, I know you're a fan of Flacco, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I think he's 100% earned my respect, and I think he's still a solid quarterback. I mean, he's not top 10 or anything, but I think he's definitely going to get the job done.
So they're 4-5. They're third behind a 5-2 Pittsburgh and a 5-3 Cincinnati. So they're not done either, but they really lack. And they have this odd dynamic between Flacco and Lamar Jackson. I don't know why they drafted Lamar Jackson. I really don't. Because if you had any kind of quality quarterback behind Joe Flacco, Flacco would be benched by now. He's only completing 61% of his passes. He's thrown 6 picks, 2-1, because he's got 12 touchdowns. But Joe Flacco just feels like that guy who's, he's not great.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that's going to lead you.
He's not got a ton of weapons. I mean, it's not as though he's got a ton of big-time guys on that team. I mean, that team is full of average guys. I mean, Crabtree is
John
not.
John Brown's had a really nice year. He's leading them in receiving at 600 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's pretty
he's
good.
He's not a dominant receiver. I mean, let's be real about it. I mean,
I know what he was in Arizona. He's averaging 17.7 yards a catch.
Which means he's a burner. That's who he is. He's not going, I get that he's a burner.
He's having a good year, man.
I know, but he is not as you put it, a dominant possession receiver. He's not a top-end guy.
But that's why they have Michael Crabtree.
Is Crabtree that guy now? Like, I don't think Crabtree necessarily at this point in his career is that guy. I mean,
because
he needs the ball, right?
But Joe Flacco's not getting him the ball. Joe Flacco's accuracy is killing Michael Crabtree. I mean, there were 3 balls over the weekend that were wide.
Yeah.
Where if you put it on him, that's a first down.
Yeah.
So I think there's, I would not devalue John Brown the way you are, because the way he is playing now, he is healthy. And he is delivering on 34 catches for 601 yards is awfully good.
So I think it's interesting that, so John Brown's having a great year. Yet when we talk about Crabtree, his struggles are that, you know, the ball wasn't put on him, which might be true. But I'm just saying at some point, so we're sitting here saying that Flacco can throw the deep ball but can't hit a guy in the slant. That's what we're saying.
I think there is some of that. And I think, without question, Crabtree's lost half a step at this point. And maybe he's not getting out of the break as quickly as he should, and so Flacco's not as accurate as he could be.
Yeah, I mean, but we're sitting here talking about, is Joe Flacco still legit? Is he still a guy that should be a Raven? And I think the question is, I don't know, but I think I'm not ready to say no, and maybe I am too loyal to him, but I'm not ready to say no, it's time to move on from Flacco.
If you fired John Harbaugh?
Okay, yeah, it's time to move on from Flacco. If you cut out the regime, okay.
So do you fire John Harbaugh?
Not yet. I don't think so. I mean,
if you fire John Harbaugh, I guarantee you the Jets will make a phone call as soon as the news comes out.
It's great, and we always get to this point too when we're talking about firing coaches, but in any sport, it's okay. So let's fire John Harbaugh. Okay, who are you going to bring in behind him? Who's going to be as good as he is? Yeah. I'm not really sure.
There's not a lot of coaching candidates flying around. I think John Gruden's hurt some of the guys that want to get back into coaching.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of an issue. We'll see. But I think if you look around, it's going to be, the best. Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma is a guy that everybody's talking about in Cleveland. You know, like, why? Why would you do that? If you're Lincoln Riley, are you leaving Oklahoma to go to Cleveland? Bruce Arians today said that the Cleveland Browns job, like, Bruce is a legit NFL head coach. He said the Browns job is really attractive.
Well, I think the thing that's attractive about it is that you have some nice stories going on there. And you do have tools. You have players. But, I mean, it's not like you have a great running back. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you have Baker.
Well,
you've
Chubb.
Got Jarvis. I mean, Chubb's performing,
coming.
But I get that he's coming. But, again, let's pump the brakes on that a little bit. Like, let's take it
easy on
that, bro.
Says the guy who cut him earlier this year.
Yeah, come on, bro. I mean, you've been on my bench the whole year. Come on, you've had a couple nice weeks. But I think at the end of the day, I think everybody covets winning with the Cleveland Browns because they've sucked for so long.
Yes.
Who's the guy that's going to pull the sword out of the rock with
well,
that
Bruce,
situation,
Bruce Arians
bro?
Certainly could be that guy because Bruce is a offensive wizard.
Yeah.
Like, you can say whatever you want about Bruce Arians.
He had good years in Arizona, but, I mean, at the end, it was just a dumpster fire.
Yeah,
and that's not his fault, though.
Time.
Yeah.
Steve Keim's a terrible general. Anyway. But I look at the situation around the league. There's just a lot of bad decisions. Not only is Todd Bowles a bad coach at the Jets, but I think Sam Darnold is not a great quarterback.
Yeah.
He just 4 more interceptions yesterday.
Awful.
Yeah, amazing. All right, that's us on the NFL. Tomorrow, top 5, bottom 5 in the NFL is going to be very different. Very different. The LA Rams will not be the number 1 team on our top 5, bottom 5 for the first time since week 2. So
everyone's got to take a piece of the humble pie.
It's a very different week in the NFL. I'm looking forward to top 5, bottom 5 tomorrow. Holy cow. Can we talk some NBA basketball?
Finally.
All right, let's rip Magic Johnson. okay, so as somebody who's a passionate observer of those Los Angeles Lakers.
And I've been watching them.
Only because my Chicago Bulls are just...
Well, Levine is balling, bro.
Right, that might be true, but Fred Hoiberg is no baller. Anyway, let's just not... Don't start with the Bulls. Can we just...
Yes.
So, the Lakers. Luke Walton's the head coach of the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
okay? And Magic Johnson is in 100% control of the personnel. And it just over the weekend... It happened to come out that Magic Johnson had a meeting where he bag-slapped Luke Walton for, you know, his style of play and all this stuff. And we just get into this whole thing where Magic isn't happy with Luke Walton. And if things don't change, Magic's going to fire Luke Walton.
Hmm.
Why would you, if you're Magic Johnson, why are you doing this? I don't understand this. And if I'm out of line on this, somebody please let me know. There's nothing good that is going to come out of this. First of all, what has Magic Johnson done that entitles him to be publicly admonishing his head coach? This is a guy who, granted, as a player, was arguably the best point guard to ever play the game.
Right.
Ever. Right? But as an executive... Did the Dodgers win the World Series? Because remember, when he got into the ownership thing, it was, oh, the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. Right? They've gone to the World Series 2 times in a row now, back to back, and they've lost. And this year, they picked up the best player in baseball that was available in Manny Machado, and they still lost. And that, by the way, Manny Machado could be one of the reasons they lost. Was probably some shenanigans with the pitching staff, but neither here nor there. The Dodgers didn't win the World Series the last 2 years. Am I being too harsh on that? Is Magic Johnson said they were going to win the World Series, and they haven't. He's gotten
Simple
them
as
there.
That.
He's gotten them there.
They haven't won. Simple
they haven't
as
won.
That.
Okay. The Lakers. He tried to coach the Lakers. That was a really bad thing. He was a terrible coach. Out. Right? You are now the executive, and you're the guy that drafted Lonzo Ball, who is looking more and more every day like he's improving a little bit, but at this point you would say he's a bust.
For where he was drafted, yeah.
Right? Okay. So you also are the guy that brought in Brandon Ingram, and you're the guy who made the decision not to bring back Julius Randle. Like, you've crafted a roster that is not winning games right now. So I'm just asking, is this Luke Walton's fault? 100% Luke Walton's fault? I don't think so. Is it, you know, Will Scott or Theo Robertson or Brian Keefe or Judd Bushler? Sure, his staff is probably a bit inexperienced for a guy that's not a real experienced head coach, even though he had that time with Steve Kerr and they won the championships. And okay, I would even argue that, yeah, Luke Walton's an inexperienced young head coach who's got what some would consider a pretty inexperienced younger staff.
Right.
Okay, well, if you want him to hire more senior assistants, okay, that's a conversation we can have. If you want him to bring Byron Scott off the television set and put him on his staff, okay, I can get down with that. But what I'm struggling with is I don't understand why any of this is public. And it's only public because that's what Magic Johnson wants.
Yeah.
He wants to be able to say, well, look, there's an uproar over the team and people were not in favor of, you know, Magic or in favor of Luke Walton. I think he is clearly setting the table for a time where he's going to be able to fire Luke Walton. And then I just back up and I say, okay, well, if you're going to fire Luke Walton, why did you have him stay this year?
Yeah.
Because there were already these thoughts about, well, LeBron didn't want to play for Luke Walton and look what happened with Tyronn Lue. And this has been so horribly managed already then. If you fire Luke Walton, let's say they fire him after Christmas, January, out, done. Who are you going to bring in there? Like, there's not like a surefire guy that you're
Ty Lue.
No, come on.
That's what people think.
Get out of here. So wait, you're going to fire Luke Walton to bring in Ty Lue?
That's what people think.
Oh,
the LeBron Ty Lue connection.
That what? When they found
that
out they
nothing.
Had
a, that's. I mean, that's when, what I'm saying.
Was it that they lost in the finals when Ty had a timeout that he didn't call, or
disappeared from the team for health reasons for however long that was? Like, I don't think Ty Lue's a great coach. I do think Luke Walton has good experience, but he is a younger head coach. He is now. He's got the keys to the team, so it's a little bit different than being the assistant, right? But I think at the end of the day, like, there's a lot more at play than just what's on the court. You know, being a head coach in the NBA, especially with a guy like LeBron on your team, and you've got these young guys like Kuz who are coming up and feeling good, you got to manage those guys, right? Like, you got to manage the egos. You got to manage the personalities. You got to put Rondo in his place when he's being too much of a coach and too crappy of a point guard. Like, you got to do those things. You got to be good at the personnel side of the job. And so I think Magic Johnson, the problem for him is that he's not the center of attention right now, and he wants to be. You know, that's who he is.
I don't know. Why did you hire Brian Shaw to be his lead assistant then? Why is Mark Madsen on his coaching? Like, you have guys that you can turn to. I think they want Miles Simon to be the head coach of the team. That's just my personal opinion. Looking at the situation, I don't believe in Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't think that Magic Johnson's a guy who can build a championship NBA basketball team. Why is Paul George still in Oklahoma City? Why does Kawhi Leonard want to be a Clipper, not a Laker? Like, there's if Magic Johnson was this great recruiter, oh, well, he got LeBron. Was LeBron really ever going to go anywhere else? He didn't even take the time to meet with Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Was LeBron ever going to go anywhere else other than the Los Angeles Lakers? Sure, certainly doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
So Magic hasn't really shown anything.
Yeah.
Right? Unless I'm completely wrong.
No, I mean, there hasn't been, there hasn't been any great, like, trade that's defined him as an executive so far. I mean, you know, for the longest time, everyone was talking about, well, they're going to trade Lonzo. And, you know, once Lonzo comes back and he improves, they'll trade him and they'll get value back. And that's this, that, and the other. And now the puzzle comes together. None of that stuff has happened. None of it. And now Kawhi has gone to Toronto and looked awesome, right?
They're 10-1.
Like, DeRozan has looked way better as a Spur, right? Like, all these players have changed hands. Paul George, I mean, look, that team, like, Westbrook suffered an injury last night, but for everything they're not, I mean, Paul George is still looking great. I mean, he's still having a good year. So I just sit here and say to myself, well, the Lakers, that's great, you got LeBron. That's awesome, but you're the 40 win team this year. You're going to struggle to get to 40 wins with the team playing the way it is right now, and that's not going to be a great first campaign with
LeBron.
But
like, look at this past draft, like, you know, Wagner and Mihailiuk, and like, you look at all these guys, and I'm like, okay, well, where's the great contributor out of the draft? I'm like, where is that guy? And I look at the 2017 Lakers draft, and I guess this is always going to be an indictment on Lonzo Ball. But I don't know. Is he ever going to make it?
Well,
does he become a legitimate NBA contributor?
I think he's certainly improving. I mean, he's knocking down the shot.
I mean,
as much as I hate his form and I don't like the way he approaches the jump shot or any way he goes about it, it's fallen down. I mean, he's hitting the bottom of the net. So, I mean, you can't – and now you can say, yeah, I mean, he's improved. The numbers are improvement. You know, and
you drafted him – what was it, number two overall?
So that's the problem, right? So we're talking about a guy – And you're big on Lonzo, I'm not as big, but I will say that this is a guy who is not a scorer, right? He is a facilitator, playmaker kind of guy.
And a really tenacious defender when he wants to be.
Jason Tatum right now is regarded as one of the best draft picks there's been because he's one of the most polished offensive players coming out of the draft. He got way better over the offseason, and now he's just an absolute killer, right? And so that's why he's regarded as a better overall player, because he can win you the game by scoring the basketball.
Lonzo, do you agree Ball with that or no?
I would rather have Jason Tatum, for sure. If Jason Tatum...
Jeez, yeah, of course.
Well, I'm just saying, then do I agree with what? I guess I wasn't following it.
But do you agree that at number two, he's a bust?
Yeah, at number two, he's a bust.
But and number one, obviously, is the bust of busts. That was Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
Who's back to this ugly jump shot now.
Awful.
Tatum was three. Josh Jackson, I'd rather have Lonzo Ball than Josh Jackson.
Agreed.
De'Aaron Fox, I'd rather have De'Aaron Fox. Jonathan Isaac, I'd rather have Lonzo Ball.
Yep.
Lauri Markkanen, I'd rather have Lauri Markkanen. Nila Kina, I'd rather have Nila Kina. Dennis Smith, yes. Zach Collins, I'd rather have Lonzo Ball. Malik Monk, Ball.
Lonzo.
Yeah. Luke Kennard, Lonzo. Donovan Mitchell, absolutely Donovan over everybody. I think he's the star of this draft. But I could go on and on. There's not a whole lot of guys that you know.
It wasn't super deep.
But then there's Kyle Kuzma. And then there's Josh Hart. And those two are superstar picks. Like Josh Hart, I don't even know how to – I mean, so surprised at how good he is. And I told you, I thought this summer he looked unbelievable.
Yeah, the attitude changed for sure.
The physique changed, number one. His ability to lift over guys for the three-point shot now, remarkable. And you know what else he's really doing? He's able to use his frame to defend. And that's the biggest surprise. He's so much more confident. And now you look at Kyle Kuzma. His three isn't going in as much as he'd like. But I love his swagger. I like what Magic did in 2017. I hate what he did in 2018. Okay, so I wish Julius Randle was still on this team. I like the Tyson Chandler signing. I don't know how many games or how many minutes a game he can give you.
I mean, I think you continue to, with your normal rotation, but instead of having no big on the floor when JaVale isn't playing, you've got Tyson. He fills that role. So I think Tyson just plays as many minutes as you need to rest JaVale or you need to sit JaVale because he's in foul trouble.
But I think Tyson Chandler is going to wind up starting for this team.
We'll see. I think
there's a real good chance.
I mean, it's an even battle. I would say that's a very even battle, honestly.
Yeah, well, he's not going to score a lot. Tyson Chandler's not going to give you 10 points a night. He's probably going to give you 5 points a night, but he's going to give you 10 rebounds a night. And he's probably going to play 20 minutes. I mean, the Suns had no use for him. They were playing him 10 minutes a night. He was giving them like 3 or 4 points a game. Like, I mean, it was a throwaway. It was the right thing for the Suns to do. But I think he certainly is an upgrade and I would actually feel like he is a tandem with JaVale.
Yeah, that's how I would look at it.
Yeah, you can play the 1-2 there. But it'll be interesting to see how much he can give you because he certainly can still jump. He was an alley-oop machine in Phoenix. So can he defend? I think he's probably a better defender. It gives you, four or five more fouls a game.
Yep.
And I think that's critical. But I am so disappointed in this Laker team at this point. You expected a 45-50 win team.
Well, the first 20 games are always going to be rough. You know, anytime you do this, the first 20 games are going to be very rough. And I think everything after that is just who they are.
Has LeBron checked out?
Oh, I think he's just, yeah, I think we're seeing, do you remember when he was a Cav and he checked out for a little while when they were awful before they, that's who he is right now, in my opinion. I mean, he's still hustling and doing things, but this is not like killer LeBron or, you know, this is not, he's not trying to go out and dominate games. He's simply running the offense and letting these guys kind of grow.
Little breaking news out of Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see who the Giants hired to be their president of baseball operations? They hired Dodger general manager Farhan Zahidi. That's a huge coup.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good hire. That's very interesting. And then Andrew Friedman... Dodger executive Andrew Friedman says that Manny Machado's lack of hustle wasn't a secret when he traded for the four-time All-Star.
I mean, it wasn't.
Come on.
Why is that? I don't understand. What's...
You're going to pay this guy $300 million not to hustle. I'm not. Man, come on. It wasn't a secret he didn't hustle.
It wasn't.
Wow. Is he one of the reasons they didn't win the World Series?
I would say he is. And I think the better way to say it is I think he was one of the reasons that series was over after some of the plays he made.
Would you have rehired Dave Roberts? Because they're close to an extension. I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah, 100%.
That tells you is it's the players, not the manager.
Yeah, and I think it should be said he outmanaged Craig Counsell. I don't think it was even that close. The mistakes Counsell made because of the way Roberts was manipulating games, and that truly is the battle within each game, right? You can anybody who's a big baseball person, guy, girl, whatever, that you can see it going back and forth. Okay, who am I going to bring in from the bullpen? Who am I going to send up there? What are we doing here? Because I'm going to do X here so I can do Y later in the game. Like, it's stuff like that. And so then I start to think to myself, well, the Dodgers had a good shot. They were in the World Series.
A good shot.
They were really in the World Series. And it's not as though Alex Cora just outmanaged the Dodgers. It was the players, man. And this is why partially a small portion of me says, okay, they've got a ton of talent. The Dodgers have a ton of talent. So is it really Magic's fault that they lost the World Series? Because he did his job. He got talent. He got them there. Like, he gave them the tools to get there. They just didn't win because they're choke artists. That's what they do. So I don't know. A little bit of me says, well, he did his job, and the players didn't finish it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think...
The Laker thing is, I separate them. I see the connection. But the way he's handled the Laker thing and this Luke Walton thing, that's you just being a diva. That's you wanting to be. That's Jerry Jones' that's side of Magic Johnson.
See, like, I look at the Dodgers as an afterthought for Magic. Lakers as his focus and his passion.
Well, how could they not be?
Yeah. So, listen, my Lord. The Dodgers make me crazy. You have all these assets and all this money, and you can go and trade for a guy like Manny Machado. And then you admit before you traded for him, you knew he was lazy and he didn't hustle, and you still traded for him on a team that you were hoping would win the World Series. That's mind blowing to me.
Well, I mean, what other choice did they have?
I don't know. And off the top of my head, you didn't have to trade for him.
Well, I get that you didn't have to trade for him, but it wasn't like there was another like grade A option. I mean, yeah, there were some pitching options out there. Like, you could have done a couple other little things with the money you had left. But I mean, he was the score of the that time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was so that move. I mean, we even talked about it. That move was Dodger-esque. We were saying this is a Dodger move. Go and make the move. You're the Dodgers. Spend the money.
And
how did
you
lost.
Not, how did you not win? How did you not win? That's what I'm trying to understand. It really bothers me when a guy the caliber of Manny Machado does not hustle.
Yeah.
It makes me crazy because there's no reason when you're playing for a world championship, there is no reason not to hustle. And when I look at his postseason, a 278 postseason guy with 3 home runs and 66 at-bats, that's not good enough. That's not good. You struck out 18 times.
Yeah, awful postseason.
You struck out 18 times and only got 15 hits. That's a freaking problem.
What?
If you look at his numbers, sorry to interrupt you, but if you look at his numbers in the World Series, they were better. He only had the last game where he didn't get a hit, but he had no home runs. After the game one of the Milwaukee series, he didn't hit a home run. He had three RBIs in one game in the World Series. That was it. He walked once in the World Series. That was it. He struck out five times in the World Series. He did not perform well in the biggest moments. That's why I'm telling you, for this guy to say, oh, well, we knew he wasn't going to hustle. We knew he was. That means you knew this guy was a D-bag who had character issues. And those came out in a major way. And then you kicked a guy at first base, and you, like, you're just, this is why you don't pay him. Somebody will, but this is why Team Monty doesn't pay this guy $300 to $400 million. I'm willing to pay Bryce Harper that every single day because I know I'm going to get his 100% level best. And if Bryce Harper's in the playoffs or in the World Series, he's going to give his left arm to help his team win.
Yeah.
Manny Machado will not.
Yeah. I don't disagree, difference. Man. I don't disagree. And I think, listen, I don't think, you know, it's not rocket science. I mean, everybody knew he didn't hustle, but I think this goes back to what I always get to when it comes to guys who don't perform in the postseason. He came from a losing team who hadn't been to the postseason while he was on that team.
And that had no expectations of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway, it's fine. Real quick before we stop talking basketball, now that we've talked baseball, sorry. A couple other basketball stories. Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. Should he have shot that three to get to 51 last night?
Yep.
He should have.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What am I going to...
Why is it cool? So let me ask you this.
The
Why
game
is
was
it cool?
over.
Whoa. Why is it cool for the Warriors to come out and just feed Clay? Let's just feed him to get a record. But Jamal Murray can't try to get 51 at the end of a game
you
that was over?
You were dribbling out the clock.
Okay, great. The game's over.
Right. There's no... Right. You don't do that.
Be
Why
pissed that
on?
You lost. Maybe you should have won. He should have taken the shot.
No. No, I think it just...
So if it was LeBron, we would have been saying, yeah, take the shot, take
no,
the shot.
No, LeBron would never have done that.
Okay, whatever player you want to point to, great, LeBron wouldn't have done
Steph.
It.
Steph is a good example of this. Steph wouldn't have done that, but if Steph had done this, I think people would have been on him too. Here's the problem. Jamal Murray's a jerk, and everybody knows it. And he acts like a jerk, and he walks around like he's won something. You're the Denver Nuggets. Know who you are. No, well, this is what I
said. They're one of the best
teams
this year so far. I mean, they're one of the best teams this year so far.
Right.
So he's going to be arrogant about
November
it.
November 6th.
I get it.
Let's slow our roll. This is what I say about, you know, what's his name? Dancing on the Star last night for the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're the Tennessee Titans. Know who you are. You're the Denver Nuggets. You're Jamal Murray. Know who you are.
Yeah,
you're not a great team. You're not a champion. Does that make you feel
yeah,
better?
But he's not thinking that. He's not thinking about that in the moment. I mean, he doesn't.
You should
would
be
thinking. No, nobody would be. We always disagree on this. He's
fired.
Not thinking about. He's
Kevin
not.
Byard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you made a nice play, but you shouldn't be dancing on the star, you idiot. But listen, Jamal Murray is not thinking about. Oh, well, I haven't won a championship, so that means I shouldn't do this.
And he should be thinking about class and respect.
Yes, I agree.
Because
with that.
This all
yes.
comes back around. And on top of that, did you see Kyrie last night after the game? He got the ball and threw it into the seats. That cost him $25,000 today.
And nobody cares because he's Kyrie and he's going to go out and do great things. You know,
that was just you were
but,
up
but what's
eight
worse?
Points.
But what's
Why
worse?
Do you need? Well, you scored 48. What 51's not good enough? Like, you know, like to me, you're just a jerk. That's what this is. What my issue with Jamal Murray is, he's a jerk. He is a really talented player, but he doesn't get it. He thinks he's a star, and you're not. You're not a star. You're not a guy that anybody ever thinks about. You're not playing tonight. Nobody's thinking about you. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody's thinking about you tomorrow or the day after either, right? Kyrie is exactly right. It drives me crazy, this young exuberance. Which is why the next story is so shocking that LaVar Ball put his kid back in high school. LaMelo Ball is going back to high school for his senior year at Spire Institute in Ohio.
Can't believe it, man.
It's the exact right move. And LeAngelo is registering for the G League player pool. It's going to be impossible at this point to get signed. But they're actually eating some crow. They're like showing some contrition about who they are. And it's the exact right thing to do. And I think this really, really helps LaMelo Ball.
Yeah,
now, I mean, he can't play in college, obviously, because he's ineligible. But this really helps him. And the best thing about it is, do you understand why it's so important to go back to high school?
Yeah, it allows him to play the best talent. It allows him to play legit talent that people can respect.
It's allowing him to play against guys who are his same age. He was the number one point guard in the country until he withdrew himself from Chino. And so now he gets to go back to that level. And let's see how he does. Because we have no idea. Now he's about 6'7", they say. He's had this huge growth spurt, and he has really worked on his ball handling, apparently. So let's see. Everything that happened to him at Vytautas in Lithuania should have matured him and made him a very good player.
Well, and this move, I think, gives him the chance at least to put Lithuania behind him. Right, like the
sure.
JBA was. The JBA is a joke. Let's be honest. Like it's cool, but it's
the
nice.
The league
but.
Was bad, and his original tour in Lithuania with Vytautas was bad. Their JBA tour of Europe was actually really good
for him. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
him and LeAngelo.
I'm just saying though, like from a recruiting standpoint, from the NBA, like people watching him, seeing if he's going to be a legit stud. Going back to this kind of an academy, like a school, like
it's a prep school. So it's not like a scholastic
yeah.
level school. It's
yeah.
not a regular high school. It's a prep school. It's a private prep school. There is a circuit of private prep schools that play each other. So this is the best talent.
Yeah.
And he's got two of the best players in the country on his team, by the way. So we'll see. I how surprised are you by this?
I mean, I'm surprised at the decision because that's just not been who they are, and frankly, I'm a little surprised that LeVar has just not said much when it comes to the Lakers and Lonzo. I mean, he's really calmed down on that. I'm really surprised by that, and I think this finally is what we've been calling for so long. This is the right move by LaMelo. It's the right move by your kid. It's the right choice. If you want the guy to go to the NBA, he's got to play legit talent. He's got to prove that 6'7 frame can make the three against legit defense.
Yeah, I think it's a great move. I really do think it's a great move, and I'm happy for him. Also, by the way, everybody knows by now that Ryan McDonough, the former GM of the Suns, was fired, right? The Suns fired him. Did you hear how they fired him? They called him and said, "Hey, you're fired." On the phone. They
See,
called
that's
him
why they're
on
awful.
The phone.
You're embarrassing, bro. Like, come on.
They called him on the phone and said, "Hey,
new
man,
phone, who this?
Hey, Ryan, it's Robert Sarver. How are you?" "Oh, I'm good.
Hello.
I'm calling to let you know you're fired." Like, what?
What?
Say what? They fired him on the phone. That's unbelievable. That is very Sons of the Sons.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. By the way, congratulations. Mitt Romney got himself elected to be a senator for Utah. One other note real quick. Do I want to get into college football right now? I want to say I can't believe that Notre Dame is number 3 in the country. The college playoff rankings are out. Notre Dame is 3. Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Michigan 4.
Michigan is overrated, bro.
That defense, I think they're one of the best defenses in the country.
Yeah, we'll see.
We will. They got to go to the Shoe.
Play somebody.
Well, they have played people. The biggest problem is, and I think this is the issue for Michigan, is that how are you going to jump Notre Dame when they beat you to open up the season? I think that's a huge problem for them. But I think Michigan's on a bit of a run here that, you know, you feel like maybe
there's a chance, but that's going to come to an end.
So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah, you feel like they're going to beat Rutgers. They're going to beat Michigan. It's going to beat Indiana, rather, excuse me. And then the 24th of November, they go to the Shoe in Columbus, CBUS, to take on Ohio State.
You're going to get crushed.
You think?
Their dreams will end.
What do you make of Ohio State? Like, they almost lost to Nebraska.
Almost, but almost, thankfully, almost doesn't count, bro.
Almost doesn't count.
You know?
Almost
doesn't count. All you Nebraska fans can just take a chill pill, bro. You want to talk about being nobody? You're nobody. Like, literally nobody.
Listen, listen. Almost doesn't count. And Ohio State University. I was on the radio with Bobby Carpenter this weekend, and I wanted so badly to say "an" instead of "the." I didn't. I restrained myself. But Ohio State, it's really interesting where they are right now. Because I think this is the last hurrah for Urban Meyer. I think him talking about this brain cyst thing and all of the shenanigans that have gone on around that program, if you ask me, I think this is the last year for Urban Meyer at Ohio State. And I think they move on. I don't know who they hire because nobody replaces Urban Meyer. Just ask Florida. They still haven't replaced Urban Meyer. And you could argue that even Utah hasn't replaced Urban Meyer, even though Witt's done a great job. How about Tyler Huntley breaking his collarbone? Oh, man. The Pac-12's a mess. Anyway, I'm glad Michigan's still four. Not even because I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I am. But they should be four until they beat Ohio State. They should be. That's just me. That's my opinion. I could be wrong about that. I think Georgia gets into the playoff. And obviously, for those of you who don't know, the SEC championship game on December 1st is already set. It's Alabama, roll tide, versus Georgia. Because Georgia won the East. Bama, as you know, shellacked LSU over the weekend. And it's Bama, Georgia in the championship game. And I think they'll both be undefeated the rest of the world. They won't lose going into that game.
Yeah.
And then I think the loser takes the fourth spot, and the winner, I think, is probably, you know, two or three.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Anyway, you don't care. You're not a huge college football guy.
Nope.
I am. I love college football. I know. You hate when I talk college football.
I don't hate it. I mean, it just
doesn't
stir my pot.
By the way, you voted today. How did that feel?
I mean, it was great. It's cool. Spent not too long on it. It was really cool. I thought I was going to have to wait in a line for like a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends. We walk up and, you know, I got it in the green envelope and the, you know, at first we're standing in the line and then, you know, voter person, you know, people who are there working the event.
Voter person.
You know, people working
the volunteers.
Event. The volunteers.
They all volunteer,
yeah, sorry.
By the way.
The volunteers who don't get paid. Great for you. Thank you so much. You know, you walked up to me and you said, hey, you got that, you're in the green, so just go ahead and walk up, drop it off, give you the sticker, bada boom, bada bing.
Bada boom, bada bing, justice, yeah. Democracy, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. Do you care about the election tonight?
Not as much as I should, but...
Damn it. The show was almost over before you became a communist. What do you mean, not as much as you should?
I mean, I should probably be more educated on it, but I mean, I just haven't spent a ton of time on it.
Well, right now, the Democrats are supposedly very close to taking control of the House.
Yeah, and let's be real. I mean, the sad part about it is, at the end of the day, is that it has to be Democrats versus Republicans this time around.
Always.
You know, I mean, it just...
Do you want to see Donald Trump's tax returns?
Oh, for sure. You know what I want? I want to see Donald Trump burn. I want his issues to come. Well, it's true. I mean,
burn
how
Donald.
Many times? How
By the
many
way,
things?
Secret Service. He's not a threat to anybody. You don't.
How
need
many
to come
times,
to the crib.
Bro? Like, how many things are on the list of things that Donald Trump has done wrong and hasn't paid for?
People have like
There's
unsubscribed
zero
to the podcast.
Accountability, bro.
I'm never listening to that show again.
Great. Get the hell out of here. There's no accountability for the guy. Like,
MAGA.
At the end of the day.
MAGA.
There's no accountability.
Jake's fake news.
Yeah,
fake
great.
Fake news.
Huge.
Fake news.
Yeah.
MAGA. Anyway, there is no accountability. So I would like to see his tax returns. And the reason I bring that up is if the Democrats win the House, I think there's a real good chance that they're going to try and force the release of Donald Trump's tax returns. And that, you know, it is what it is. But we're watching, I have CNN on in the background, and Democrats are doing quite well. They are picking up houses. Sharice Davids just won the House seat in Kansas.
Kansas.
So we'll see. Anyway.
Okay.
I just don't understand how somebody your age can't care about politics. It just is. And maybe it is don't care too strong.
Yeah, I would say that it's too strong. I care, but I don't put enough energy into it.
Yeah, I hear you. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, since you don't care.
top five, bottom five in the National Football League tomorrow on the show. Also, did Bryce Harper turn down a $375 million offer from the Nats? Will he be a Cub or a Yankee? We'll talk about all that. More on the NBA, more on the NFL tomorrow on the Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.